Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
It's 18 after the hour on this Wednesday. My next guest, Byron Henry, attorney and constitutional scholar, a regular contributor here to the program. And so much is going on in the courts, activist judges creating problems for the Trump administration. But a lot of them were set back in their chairs this week by the Supreme Court, much to the chagrin of those on the left. The progressives not pleased, but those that respect the law are pretty pleased. Byron Henry, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you from Muskegon, Michigan today, Steve.
Well, good Lord, you can listen to us on 98.7 FM right there in Muskegon. You know,
that's
you can listen to yourself. It's wonderful. I greatly appreciate you having me. What are you doing in Muskegon?
Up here for vacation for a family wedding.
Very nice choice. It's a little cool today, but by the weekend, it's going to be just terrific there. And the coast, as you have figured out, is wonderful. Welcome to Michigan, Byron.
Thank you.
Let me ask you about this. The news media, like CNN, who's fired a whole bunch of people this week for creating fictional stories, and others, completely downplayed the Supreme Court's decision here a couple of days ago. I listened to it, and I listened to people like Jeffrey Toobin on CNN completely downplay. Well, it's a partial victory. It could be a Pyrrhic victory because come October, you know, the court could rule the other way, which isn't going to happen. The court, three of the members of the court said they would have upheld the ban altogether. And what do you make of it? What is your first impression?
Well, the first thing you have to look at is the fact that the Trump administration's policy was based on people without connections to the United States. President Trump had a waiver provision in the second executive order that allowed family members, students, potential employees that had a connection to the United States to opt out of the travel ban and come to the United States anyway. So they foresaw this. This is a virtually complete vindication of the policy that President Trump's administration was attempting to put forward here. It is temporary, as we've talked about before, 90 days. But basically, everyone that the Trump administration wanted to ban from travel to the United States for 90 days, those people are not going to be able to travel to the United States, as well as the refugee issue, which the Supreme Court basically, at least for the time being, upheld the president's authority to limit the number of refugees to come to the United States, which the lower court said he did not have the authority to do. So it was basically a total vindication of his policy and a total rebuke of the lower court's opinions that had questioned President Trump from everything from campaign statements to saying it was a religion anti-Muslim ban. It was based on his hatred of Muslims. None of that was in the Supreme Court's opinion. All the reasoning that they relied on was basically rejected or not even mentioned, by the way, by nine justices of the Supreme Court. So there's no way to look at this.
Let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this, Byron, because this is the one bit of confusion I had, and Gorsuch, Thomas, and Alito didn't have this confusion because they said they would have upheld the ban in its entirety. But they made exceptions. They made carve-outs a little bit, did the Supreme Court in its decision. And I've looked at the background in this. Does the Constitution give the court the power to create exemptions to the president's plenary power?
No, the reason that those carve-outs exist is because this is not the final hearing on the matter. This is simply an injunction or a stay provision. So this just allows those people that were trying to get here, such as the mother-in-law of one of the plaintiffs and some students that had been admitted to college in Hawaii, to go ahead and go through the process and come over here and not be banned from travel. But when they hear the merits, if they hear the merits in October, because this travel ban should actually be expired by October, if they ever get to the merits, they will actually address the full panoply of the president's authority for national security and for immigration. This was just an interim measure, and that's why there's sort of a with the baby type approach at this stage. But no, at the ultimate hearing, they would have to decide whether the president could keep them all out or whether or not they all have to come in.
So there's an exception, and I don't even think the court has the right for an exception, even for a temporary period of time. What do you foresee, reading tea leaves a little bit here, Byron, what do you foresee happening when the court hears the whole case? Because even by the time they get to the whole case, the 90 days will have expired. They could, I suppose, say that they're not going to hear the case and say it's moot. I doubt that they will do that. I'm guessing more likely they will make a decision and render a decision, because it's really not about this decision anymore. Because the justices in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, I think it is fair to say, they ruled against Donald Trump. They did not rule against the President of the United States or the Office of the Presidency. They targeted this person in particular because they made comments alluding to the fact that if Hillary Clinton had issued the same ban, it would have been upheld. So what's going to happen in October?
That's right, and I think that's one of the biggest parts of this decision is that it reminds the lower courts that you are not dealing with President Trump. You are dealing with the President of the United States, and the Constitution does not change because the office holder changes. So if the Supreme Court addresses it in October, I think there's clearly the vote based on the language of the stay opinion, which basically says, you know, the president's powers are at its peak when it's dealing with national security and immigration matters. I think that there's a high likelihood that the president will be completely vindicated on the travel ban if they go ahead and hear the merits. I have questions about what's still going to be left to be heard in October. But assuming that they hear the case, I think there are certainly five votes, probably more, to uphold the president's authority. And one thing that happened with this decision, Steve, is this whole anti-Muslim religion animus idea. The narrative of that was the court pulled the plug on that narrative for the mainstream media because they didn't mention anti-Muslim campaign statements, tweets, or anything about religion in this opinion.
Didn't mention it at all because it's irrelevant. That's the point. You know, the Constitution doesn't say the president, the executive, has this power unless he says something that offends us. I mean, that's just, it was a ludicrous approach by the Fourth and Ninth Circuits. My question to you, and we've only got about 20 seconds, Byron, but do you think this will help keep those courts, those appeals courts, on a shorter leash, or do they continue to wander into the minefield?
That remains to be seen, but I can tell you that one thing that will happen is even if the court doesn't hear the case later, once they granted certiorari in this case to hear it, the lower court's decisions are vacated. So we don't have to worry about those opinions being a precedent for any other future presidents or any other administrations. But if they don't fall in line after this opinion, then they haven't learned their lesson.
Byron Henry, enjoy Michigan. Thank you for being here.